Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32. We'll pick up there. And Paul is instructing again the Corinthians who had written to him with questions about where they were as new believers. And we found out last week he was speaking about the time, about the time was short at that time, which was almost 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago. The time was short where Paul was expecting the Lord to come back at any moment. And I was thinking that's one thing that we've most believers they're not looking. Most believers, you know how I know they're not looking? We're making a lot of plans, a lot of projections. You know, 10 years from now we're going to do this. 20 years from now we're going to do this. And they want you to make plans too. Where are you going to be in 10 years? Where are you going to be in 20 years?
A lot.
and looking for the Lord is not on that. Oh yeah, and look for the Lord too. Yeah. But Paul was telling them that in verse 29 he says, "But this I say, brethren, that the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they weep not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they bought, as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it. For the fashion of this world passeth away. As they that use this world as not abusing it." How can a believer abuse this world? Where does use turn to abuse?
Flesh.
In the flesh?
By
assimilating?
I guess you take your eyes off the Lord and focus it on the things of this world.
You take your eyes off. You know what Paul said in Philippians? He said that there are some who preach Christ. Even though he said they preach it as supposing to add affliction to his bonds, and he said some preach Christ out of pretense. And he said some are enemies of the cross of Christ. And that they look at that. First Philippians, that's our church. Philippians. Like it's the second Philippians. First Philippians Philippians. Chapter three. Philippians 1:16 says what? Oh, the one preach Christ, right?
Not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel.
Yeah, I'm thinking that everybody's, even today, everybody's talking about Jesus, aren't they? Oh, believers, what's that?
Quotations,
yeah, believers.
Everybody talk about having that going.
Right, right. Chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says, 3:16, "Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." But he says, "For our conversation is
heaven.
Is in heaven or heavenly, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So in Philippians, Paul said that there's some who whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their
shame,
who mind they're concerned, they're consumed with earthly things, worldly things. Say it again. These things are going away. That's what Paul said in Corinthians. He said the fashion of this world passes away.
It's like dissipation.
It's like a flower that fades away.
You're consuming your efforts or whatever on things that are temporal.
Yeah.
It's dissipation. That's what I was trying to say.
It's like chasing the carrot.
Yeah.
But the he said they mind earthly things. That's where they're
attendance.
That's what they do. They're concentrating. He's talking about believers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that's where the distinction is. Okay, most of the world, unbelievers, you expect that.
Right.
But it's when we get caught up in the things, when we start to mind earthly things, is where the problem comes in. Is what does it...
That's where you're abusing it.
That's where you're abusing it.
It means too much to
you.
But we're just pilgrims.
We should be strangers, right? Sojourners.
Right.
He said ambassadors. Right. You know what? An ambassador, he doesn't go to the foreign country and buy him a house, enroll his children, project long term, and make investments. He says, I'm over here doing what?
I'm
representing my government. And after a while, for a season. And after a while, I need to find that little track I have. It's called The Embarrassing Ambassador, where he went to the, it was an ambassador they sent from the United States. He went over to, I believe it was India. And he went over and he began to assimilate. Somebody used it. It began to assimilate with the people. And first he ate what they ate. He kind of hung out where they hung out. Then he put on a turban, then a tunic, and pretty soon he assimilated so much that he was sitting at the gate in this city begging for scraps.
Wow.
And they sent their representatives over to see what was wrong with this. We're not getting any communication anymore. And they went over, and that's where they saw him sitting at the gate begging. And they says, "Hey, John, what are you doing? You're the United States representative. Look at this guy." But he had begun to mind those things over there. He was conformed to that world. He forgot who he was.
Yeah.
He completely forgot. He was no longer representing the United States. And as believers, if you forget that you're an ambassador, if you forget that this is not your home, you'll abuse this world, and it'll abuse you.
I was just thinking about that the other day. One of my friends from high school called me, and he was asking me about certain gospel artists and some rappers I know about, you know, and this fellow named New Wine, he was doing gospel rap. And he asked, I think I came up, I said his name. And I got on the internet and I was trying to look him up because I remember some of his songs. It was some good songs, you know. I looked up him. He had changed his name. And out there in the world, like, he never did gospel at all. And man, he had a shirt all off, girls dancing, and he talking about all. I said, oh man, I mean,
where did you go?
Opportunity he had. I mean,
the money wasn't there, so he changed.
Yeah. Changes what happened. But he didn't assimilate it with the world, and
right.
He jumped it.
You know, and this is when Paul's writing, he says, the time is short. We should be redeeming the time because the days are evil. And Paul said in Galatians, he said, this world is evil. Mm-hmm. And, well, we don't have to guess at that, do we? When he talks about not being conformed to the world. And that's how it happens. Confirmation takes place from the outside in. Mm-hmm. First, you know what? It draws you, like Lot. You first, you know, you just look over there and say, you know what, look like they're having fun.
It looks nice over there.
Yeah. Lot, he started off that way. He went out. He says, you pick whichever way you want to go. He pitched his tent. You know why?
He looked over there and he saw
the green grass. He said, you know what, that looks nice.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the scripture said he was sitting in the gate.
City council.
Yep.
You know, he got closer and closer. I bet he went over thinking this.
I'm over for it.
they need saving. You had to be like them.
Yes.
To relate to them.
To the bars.
I'm doing this for you, God.
That's right. And
for the team.
You know what? Paul said this in look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll get back to Corinthians in a minute. First Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. It's Paul's last writing. And he gives Timothy everything to look out for anticipating his absence, well, his departure. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2:2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. There you go.
In other words, don't forget who you are.
He says, you're what first?
A good soldier.
Well, he said, right. You're a soldier. He said, no man that is a soldier. What? No man that is. Thou therefore, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier. For no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, some believers, they don't even know you're in the fight.
Right.
Nonetheless, being a good soldier.
Man, don't get me started.
But he said, you can. You got a comment?
No comment.
Oh. That entangleth himself. One of the gentlemen at the Bible class, a few years ago, he wants to make a difference.
Yeah.
He's, I'm going to run for alderman.
Oh.
It's okay. he ran. And he won. A couple of years later, say, how's that working out for you?
Drinking politics.
He realizes that he is making zero impact. Mm-hmm. Because they're not thinking about you, nor scripture. They have their own agenda. And he became entangled in the affairs of this life. You can't listen when you find a minister, and the, you know, and the church is famous for making political statements, trying to. And that's a fine, you know what the Lord tells us about authority, political authority? You know,
subject to the higher power.
And what else? Be subject to them.
Pray for them.
Pray for them. Pray for them that they may, you know, make the decision that will allow us to live a quiet and peaceable life. He didn't say, you know what? You run for office, you can make a difference. You can change this world. Look, the world, he's told you that this world is what?
Corrupt.
It's evil. And it's getting worse. And worse, how is he going to retract his plan and make this a better place to live?
Gonna wipe the slate.
Because you think that's the thing to do. You know what? The thing gonna happen is, you know what? You say you can't save the wreck. You can save people out of the wreck. I just picture this where you jump on the bus thinking you're gonna reroute it. And you ride and the brakes don't work, steering doesn't work, and it's going straight down, and when it hits, everybody dies, and you get thrown out. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as far as being saved, you know you're saved,
oh, okay. Yeah.
And if the rest of them perish, right, you won't stop it. Even, no matter how much you think you can. And there's different opinions about it. Maybe you have a different opinion about that. I just know he said here that you don't what? Entangle yourself in the affairs of this life. You pay tribute to whom tribute, custom whom custom, honor to whom honor, pray. That's it.
That makes sense, because we've just been reading where he says, if you're married, your attention is on your wife, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if it's not, your attention is on the Lord. Well, all we're talking about is marrying other things, entangling ourselves with the affairs of the world. Now we got more things to distract us from the Lord.
That's right. Now, since we're in Timothy,
politics, trying to please, please everybody.
Right.
Or at least appear that 51%. Way.
51%.
At least appear that way.
Right. Right now. Flip over to chapter 3 since we're over here. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, this know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. And this is Paul. In 2 Timothy, he realizes the Lord is tarrying a lot longer than when he was thinking in Corinth. And he says, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be, the first thing he says, men shall be what?
Lovers
of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof.
When he says a form of godliness, does he mean like religiosity? Is that what he's, you know, all the outward trappings of what people deem to be?
You know what?
Sure.
He goes to church every week. He goes to Bible study. He wears a collar. He has a big Bible. He must be spiritual.
Yeah.
When you meet him, you know what? They say all the right things. How you doing, Gerald? I'm blessed, brother. How you doing?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
They say they got all the jargon. All the jargon is down. But when he's list, am I?
Oh, yeah.
Am I right?
You're in the house.
And he uses the thing. The first thing is lovers of pleasure, lovers of their own selves, and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know what?
That was in the church.
Yeah.
That's where you're going, brother. He's not talking about outsiders.
Oh, yeah.
This is something new.
That's right. He's talking about us. Uses that go into church every week.
Sort of like Creflo and his campaign to buy the most expensive Learjet there is in the world so he can minister the gospel.
You know what?
I'm sure he could. He already got an airplane, don't he?
No.
But this one, he says, will help him save more lives over there in the streets, and it only costs $70 million.
Listen, let me ask you something. This is 2015, right?
Yeah.
How many people do you think are able to access his TV program, national TV program? Mm. Do you think the people where he could fly to could catch it on TV?
Probably.
I would venture to say that if it wasn't worldwide, he can probably get another TV station to air his show.
55 million, he can put satellites all over the world.
So why do you think
personal DVD?
Why do you think a man would conclude, I have to have this to reach the people because the internet is not enough?
They say it is the best top of the line jet because it's a private jet.
Lovers of
pleasures,
lovers of their own selves,
covetous,
boasters,
proud.
I see it all the time, even at my church I go to. Because I'm in, I sing a little bit, and I've never seen it. People, man, we gotta cut this CD, man. Man, we gotta make some money, man. We gotta. And I'm looking around. I'm saying, why don't we seek God? Why don't we fast and pray? Why don't we cry out to the Lord? None of that talk. Man, we gotta hurry up and cut the CD, man.
Yep.
We gotta go here, there. We gotta get some donations from this church, that church, and it's. It's sad, but it's good that you can see that.
Yes.
Because some people are caught up. They can't even see nothing wrong with that.
All right.
I think it's all right.
Yeah, you're right, Gerald. And another thing, too, is we have to be careful. When Paul's writing, you might say that's them. But we're not that far away from the influence. Mm-hmm. You just hang around the right people and you get that pressure.
Oh, yeah.
You get that pressure on you. And then, you'll compromise.
You are easily influenced.
You're easily, if you're not focused, like I said, that's why Paul said, walk.
Circumspectly.
Well, that too. But he says, many walk like this. He said, but follow us.
As I follow.
Stay on track. You better find some people that love the Lord.
They know His word. Anchored in the word of God. Mm-hmm.
Because you can say, I won't do that. Paul said, same book. We're going to get out of 2 Timothy. Look, flip over to chapter 4. Verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and hath departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. You know what's funny? I'm going to say it's funny, but just an observation. He said Demas, you know, Demas means, you know what Demas means? Well, I'll let you look that up on your own time. He says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And he said this, he departed to Thessalonica. What do you know about the Thessalonians?
They were not as noble as the Bereans.
That's true.
I like the Bereans.
Other than that, because they did receive the word as the word of God, and it effectually worked in them.
You are strong in material matters, determined and stubborn.
Well, the Thessalonians, weren't they the ones that were being tossed to and fro? Because that's why he didn't tell them. I've told you this before about how they could know that this wasn't the time that was for the Jews, that he was having to re-educate them. I mean, you asked me.
No, that's good. That's I'm thinking that I'm trying to connect that to my point.
Well, he said it, you're soon shaken as if by letter written from me. So they were being persuaded away from Paul.
That right.
They weren't grounded. They weren't holding fast the faithful word.
You're right. The second Thessalonians. But look at First Thessalonians. And here's what... And that's actually tied to the first. They were looking for the Lord. And they were worried that they missed it. Mm-hmm. Now you have a group of people that were looking for the Lord. Mm-hmm. In 1 Thessalonians, he said this. He said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. He said that our verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now you think about the Thessalonians, that's a mature assembly. Mm-hmm. They love, they're working, they're waiting. But Paul, when he writes, he said, Demas went to Thessalonica because he was going to meet with some established believers.
Because he loves
What in the world happened in Thessalonica that Demas could go there if he loved the world?
Well, they got shaken.
Now
they
were
minding earthly things.
You know what? I could be anticipating some things, but if I love the world, I want to go where what?
Where
worldly people are.
But you think that he was going to the church in Thessalonica or to the
to the club in Thessalonica?
He says he forsook him because he loved this present world. Right. So he must have been going for some other present world.
Because the word of the Lord sounded out from Thessalonica to. I mean, they made an impact.
Right.
But
well,
hold fast.
Something may have went awry. But anyway, let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Back to 1 Corinthians.
Well, yeah, because Thessalonians wasn't it written fairly early on, as opposed to obviously 2 Timothy was written at the end.
Right.
But and the whole purpose of this is that he was with me, then he left me, and that I guess.
And I don't think Paul meant...
And we know that he said that all those that were in Asia had deserted me. Where's Thessalonica? Thessalonica. Thessalonica. Was that in Asia?
Close enough.
Was that in Asia?
That,
is that part of what he said, that all they in Asia had deserted me?
Thessalonica is in Macedonia, yeah. That's
Macedonia.
Asia Minor is Galatia, Ephesus, Colossae, yeah. But it was there. They sounded out in the whole area. So what that tells me, and I could be wrong, but that's the way I see it, is it doesn't matter. You can start off on fire. And like pastors say, you find out that you can't set the world on fire with a matchstick. You'll burn out before you set the world on fire. Is you have to take heed to yourself. Paul said this, he had forsaken me. You can't leave the man without leaving the message. And that's where he went down. When you leave the doctrine, don't tell me what you won't do.
Just a matter of time.
It's just a matter of time. Because you have nothing to govern your thoughts. And if you have nothing to govern your thoughts,
that Adam nature's going to go on its own way.
You know what? He's a beast. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, he did what? Wow. And it'll happen when you leave the doctrine. Watch out, because that's when you take over. And you know you, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's right. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says, "And they that use this world as not abusing it for the fashion of this world passeth away." You know, we've read these things about the world, and we know, to borrow a passage from John, he says, "We know that the whole world lieth in wickedness." Who controls this world?
Satan.
He's the god of this world.
And the prince of power.
So the course, Paul said, you once walked according to the course of the schematic, the fashion of this world. Do you know it's not set up for you to win as a believer?
Not in this present
world. Not in this present. You know what? It was for the Jews, the kingdom, the world was set up for them. They failed. But for you, the world has nothing to offer you. Believest thou this? It has nothing to offer you.
Mm-hmm. That's why we're ambassadors, because we're on foreign territory. Mm-hmm. Foreign soil.
That's Moses. The scripture said that Moses forsook the pleasures of Egypt. It was the pleasures of sin for a season.
Passing pleasures of sin.
Just to, you know, it only lasts for a little while.
And if I could, that's just, sometimes it's such a small verse, it means so much, where he's telling you not to abuse it for the fashion of this world passeth away. But to me, the world tempts you to invest it in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It tempts you to put everything in, your marbles in the basket of the world, you might say. And yet he's saying it's going to pass away.
Right,
and we sometimes get by that so fast. But for those who want, who can understand, that's saying all that stuff you put in the world, that's all going to go.
Yeah.
Wrong investment.
You know, that's. I know you were probably. Yeah, you might quote the. I can't remember the verse, but when the in Luke, where the man, he looked and he surveyed his barn, and he says, "I'm going to tear this down, and I'm going to build me a bigger one."
Yeah.
And he says, "So you got it made.
I'm gonna take my ease."
And it says, "You tell him." The Lord said, "Tell him today.
You
be required of me
today. The fashion of that barn is
right. That's it.
But you look at, like, tonight, your soul is required of you. Did he say?
But you look at, like, this way that just the general public looks at things, like, you know, supermodels, rock stars, whatever. It's like in 100 years, they're they weren't food, but they're not even regarded as, you know, some of the music lives on for so long, and then all of a sudden it's almost like, who listens to that garbage? And the same thing with, like, black and white movies, you know, going to color, to HD, to whatever the new stuff will be. It's, you know, people are...
Even stuff in the world passes quickly.
Yeah, it's like, it actually goes pretty quick, but you don't realize it. It's like, you know, the general public just goes to the next thing, and...
Yeah. It's, you know what? When they use you up, you're disposable to the world. Mm-hmm. You make a splash, you know, you go out there and you're living it up. And after a while, you know, Gerald, when Gerald goes in the club, they're going to say, what is that old man doing in here? He need to go home and sit down somewhere. And
he, you know, what's he trying to do?
Hey, you know, he come in with his shirt open, and, you know, his, which nobody does anymore. He got his old shoes on. You know, he got his pants up to his navel.
That's just an illustration.
That's just an illustration.
Right. We don't know that.
And he know, and they oh man, your time
is over.
It's over. Go sit down somewhere.
Girl comes up to you and she says, can I help you sit down?
Oh,
that's right.
Sit down.
And that's just one aspect. That's just one aspect of the world. And you just should believe. You don't have to experience it to know that the scripture is true. If you go out there, it's going to chew you up, spit you out. And you left of no use to anybody. And then that's when you roll in to the Bible class and try to catch up all the things you lost. Try to catch up all those years that, you know. And then you tell the younger guy, he said, boy, if I was your age, I'd do a whole lot of things different. But somebody tried to tell us the same thing, didn't they? Mm-hmm. The fashion of this world passeth away, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And he gives the contrast. He said, I would have you without carefulness. These are the Corinthians who are not married. He says, I don't want you bogged down.
Yeah. Overly concerned.
Overly concerned about your state, your marriage, where...
Status. Either you're married or not married.
Because you think about, and believers do. I mean, you have women who are believers. There's nothing wrong with that. He's telling you that. He said, I would not have you careful about this. I got to get a husband. I got to get a husband. You know, I told a girl this the other day, and I wasn't thinking about this, but I wish I would have. It was the same principle, but she's, and as a matter of fact, another guy, too, in Mississippi, he's like, I want a wife. I've been asking the Lord. I want a wife. I want a wife bad. I'm like, okay. And I said, one thing is, the thing to do first is this, is why don't you work on you? Mm-hmm. Work on your relationship with the Lord. Because you could say, I'm looking for a good godly man, or I'm looking for a good godly woman. Well, what if he's looking for a good godly woman? You think he's going to look?
He's going to find it in you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and then you're really, the thing is, the Lord... That's where, and I said this a few weeks ago, probably a month ago, is we get so mixed up where we think it's about us. Yeah. We think that the only reason I'm here is for the Lord
to bless me.
And he's thinking, yeah. You forgot about the soldier part, didn't you? Yeah. You forgot about the ambassadorship?
Yeah.
You think I just want to make you a good wife or a good husband? He said, what about what I bought? You're using the product for everything except what I bought it for. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, he says, I will have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord.
So they was really stressing over this. They were just, man. And it's like that today, isn't it?
It is.
My little brother would answer me, he got on some dating site, and and he was looking at ladies, and he saw this one young lady, and he was, boy, I would like her. You think she would like me? I said, I don't know, Jason. I don't know. And he just kept on talking. I said, you know what? The Lord has to, you know, before he give you a wife, he has to work on you first, mm-hmm. you know. And while he's working on you, he's working on that person too, you know. He gets you right, then he can bring y'all two together, you know. Until then, God is too intelligent to send somebody around and he mess him up. And mess you up, you know. So. Mm-hmm. But it's the same way today, you know. No matter, this has been written years, 100,000, you know, thousands of years ago. But it's the same thing today.
That's right. You think about it, well, we can really. He says he cared for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married cared for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And you think about a believer. He can do a lot. Could do a lot of things if he wasn't careful, full of care. That is, mm-hmm. you know, he's bound to his wife. Paul, you know what? Paul, where are you going, Paul? I got to go to Thessalonica. There you go. You're leaving again. You don't spend any time with me. And Paul, you know what? Well, when he saved me, honey, I have to go. He gave me the dispensation. I don't care about the dispensation. I need you home with me.
Who do you love more, God or me?
And then all of a sudden, you know, he's got to go. Well, Lord, I got to take my wife to. There we go. You know,
y'all know too much Bible.
You see the issue there?
Yeah.
And Paul, he said to the Corinthians, he says, don't I have the power to lead about a sister mm-hmm. if I wanted to? He said, but I'm committed and I want you to be like me. But every man has his proper gift of God. If that's where your focus is, he'll enable you to do that. If you can't contain,
it's better than marriage.
That's.
But wasn't Paul married at one time?
He could have been. He could have.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a widow.
Yeah.
But the point, you know what he says? Now I'm not.
Right, we understand. Like I am. Just be like I am.
So there's a lot of things where, and he's, you know, he's telling the truth. All you had to do is look at your own life.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to the conference next week. No, you're not. What? I want to hear the. I'm tired of you going to these conferences every week.
Hey,
every month you got a conference to go to.
Hey, Frank. Hey, why do you go to your wife rubbing your head?
he's got to keep clean.
You nervous, huh?
Did I do that? I wasn't speaking of myself. It's hypothetical.
Yes.
It's all hypothetical. Speaking as a man for the infirmity of your flesh. but really, it was hypothetical. But but you understand what I'm saying? You may want to do that, and your mate may not want you to do that. He says, nah. He said, you have to please them. Even study time. You're always reading. You know, your interest is there. Their interest is somewhere else. He said in verse 33, but he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cared for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married cared for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. You know, that's the way it should be. When Paul's writing, you know, that's the way it should be. The unmarried now, most, I won't say that. Say it again. Most, some, they are flipped, the roles are reversed. The unmarried woman now is not holy in body and spirit. She's giving her body up.
Busybodies.
And you know what? That let's see. I was looking at something the other day, and the girl said, she said, well, I just want you to know that I want to tell them from I'm a virgin. And she was like late 30s or something. It's like, wow. And and the guy said, well, don't tell him that up front because he won't want you after that. I thought, wow. But that was an example where she was waiting. But most unmarried now.
Don't need to get married.
And they're not really concentrating on the things of the Lord, how they may please the Lord. They're like the widows in 1 Timothy. They live in pleasure.
And vice versa, you know. Go the other way around too, you know.
And the married, they care how they should please their husband. That's not the case now. The married now, they walk off and leave everything. Hey, your thing in the microwave and I'll be back.
I'm done.
Kids, he go to cereal, he go to your milk, he go to bowl, spoon.
Cocktails, cupcakes.
That's right. Well, say again, man.
The married people halfway worse than the single people.
That's, you know what? And you, Paul said in Titus, he says, I would that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Give none occasion for the adversary to speak reproachfully. Mm-mm. And once you can't tell the single from the married. There's the home is not the haven. The home, they're not keeping the house. That's so their focus is not the scripture focus, where he says, well, the married cares for how they may please but the role is reversed. And you would expect it to be. That's how we are. And I'm not talking about unsaved people either. I'm talking about believers. You think I'm joking? You think I find you some married people? How often do
you put a camera in the house?
So you don't have to go that far.
Just listen to him talk.
Just what do you do for
entertainment?
Right. What do you do on the weekend? What do you do for pleasure? What about your kids? What about your husband?
I never touch
Oh, he and same with the unmarried. You got unmarried friends as believers. My boyfriend coming over. I can't go. He likes me to be at home on the weekends. What?
I can't come out to the press room. I can't.
We're going to go to the meeting. Well, he likes me to stay at home twice a month. Wait a minute. You are single, right? Well, yeah, but I'm in a committed relationship. And I'm meddling now, but I'm just showing the contrast. But Paul, he's in verse 34, there is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. He said, I'm not trying to trip you up. I'm not trying to be a killjoy. He says, I'm doing this because it's proper. And that's what believers don't want to hear, is what's proper as believers.
He said body and spirit. Spirit could be translated thought life.
That's exactly what it is. You know, I was telling this guy, what is it? It was a lady. I was telling a lady this on the weekend, and she was asking me something about, it was something about marriage. Oh, I know it. It was a guy that wanted to marry her. But he was asking her to compromise. And I said, listen, I said, we've all, you know, we're all subject to that, you know, to fall. And I said, but the scripture said in Ephesians that a man should love his wife, cherish her, sanctify her. Sanctify her. When I say that, what do you think about?
Set her apart.
Set her apart. Keep her from what?
Harm.
From harm. What else?
Evil.
Compromise. Keep her from defiling, from being defiled. Mm-hmm. So you find a guy, he says, oh, I love you, I want to marry you. If he's not trying to sanctify you, if he's trying to defile you, Jacob, when he saw, which one?
Rachel.
He loved her. And Laban said, you got to work 7 years for this. He said, okay. And scripture said it was but a few days to him for the love that he had for her. And he went in, thought it was a honeymoon. And he woke up, it was the big sister. He says, oh, man, you tricked me. He said, well, we don't do it that way here. Mm-hmm. He said, but I want her. He said, well, you got to give me 7 more years. He said, I ain't waiting that long. I'm going to take this one and I'm out of here. What did he say?
He would fulfill her week.
He put it in, didn't he? He waited. Now, if a guy says, oh, I love you, Sherry, I want you to be mine. Well, guess what? Can you wait a week? Mm-hmm. I can't wait that long. He said, yeah. If he can't wait that long, if you don't find a guy that's willing to sanctify you, I understand that pressure is great now, but if you don't find a guy that's willing to sanctify you, that guy's probably not worth it. Probably. I understand you're not. Exactly. He's probably not a strong spiritual leader for you.
Right. And if he would do that, What else he wouldn't do? Mm-hmm. You know?
Now that's let's move on. He says, but if any man think that he behaved, 36, but if any man, he said, but, well, back to 35, he says, I speak for your own profit, but and not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. He didn't want any of that. Nothing complicates a relationship more than intimacy.
Prime example, I got young people at my church. We're working with them. We're working with them. Pray for us. They all want girlfriends and boyfriends. I said, that will distract from you getting closer to the Lord. But that's all they want. Girlfriend and boyfriend. Everybody's talking about it. It's a distraction. It will be a big distraction.
So, you know what? You as a leader, though, you have to go in knowing these things and you have to know how to minister to them. Mm-hmm. And he said this. He says, verse 36, but if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. Now, he said,
this is father and daughter in here, right?
You know, I see it a little different than that, because I mean, you think about this. We don't have to think about that next week. We'll pick it up in verse.
This is a guy and his girlfriend, isn't it?
That's pick it up. That's where I see it. Yeah? I see it as, and we'll have to. We're running out of time, so we'll have to pick it up next week at verse.
So when he says and needs so required, 30, does that mean that her biological clock is ticking?
36.
No, but I mean, to me, if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, I just wish I had been taught when I was a young man dating a virgin what behaving uncomely was, because I was just a natural man doing the things that came to me naturally. You know?
Right.
And so this is saying, well, if you see yourself pressing that way, then you better get married before you go too far.
That's right. Because once the ball starts rolling, it ain't like a yo-yo where you can pull it back up.
Back in the tube.
No.
It started in the mind long before it got to the body.
So we'll pick up 36 next week, and
well, I, you know what, brother, I ain't
start there.
Go.